The term was first applied to English poetry, the poetry of Byron, Keats, and Shelley at the turn of the 19th century. And only later was it applied to the music of the 19th century as well. So we come to an important question that must now be asked. If there's no revolutionary difference in rhythm, melody, or harmony between classical era music and romantic era music, then what becomes the differentiation? What criteria do we apply in order to clearly differentiate the music of pre-Beethovenian Europe from post-Beethovenian Europe? Indeed, why should we bother with a different historical designation at all? Well, my friends, the big difference between classical era music and romantic era music has to do with expressive content. A back-to-back comparison is in order. How do the following two pieces compare in terms of expressive content? What is each of these two pieces about? I'm giving you all a chance to become program annotators for a brief but shining moment. If you had to describe these pieces to an expectant audience, what adjectives, what descriptive language would you use to describe each of the following segments in terms of their expressive content, what they seem to be saying musically and perhaps extra musically? That is there some invocation of some expressive idea beyond just the notes, rhythms, and harmonies? So, how do these pieces compare in terms of expressive content? And we start with what is perhaps Mozart's grisliest and most dramatic instrumental work, the first theme from the fourth movement of his G minor symphony of 1788. What is this music about? All right, yes, this music is grisly. We talked about this theme as being a kind of classical era primal scream, but there are still, apropos of classical style, very clear phrases. Those phrases are repeated, and we have an absolutely straightforward, unambiguous thematic statement. So despite all of its angst and Weltschmerz, this tune is a typical classical era tune in terms of its clear proportions and its direct and unambiguous expression. Now, the expressive content of this piece is highly subjective depending on your point of view. For the 18th century listener, this music would have been screeching and aggrieved. But to the 20th century listener, to our ears, poisoned as they are by the excesses of Beethoven and Wagner and Mahler, 20th century music, film scores, and punk rock, why, this music sounds comparatively tame. Boy, that would just kill Mozart to hear that. Comparatively tame? He would tear his wig off his head. He'd throw it on the floor. He'd stomp on it and cry and weep. Tame? My G minor tame? It's the ugliest thing ever written. And I love it so. Yes, Mozart, to our ears, it is tame. All in all, then, this music, this Mozart, is best discussed in absolute musical terms because it's so subjective in terms of what it's about. It's best discussed as a first theme in G minor, which is then going to be followed by a modulating bridge, which brings us ultimately to a second theme in a contrasting major key. This music is best and most easily discussed as absolute music, because whatever it might mean is so subjective as to be almost useless in a general discussion. All right, let's compare those statements to the following excerpt. This comes from Beethoven's Symphony No. 6. It is the fourth movement of a five-movement work, so the second-to-last movement, and it dates from 1808.